Welcome back to our 20th episode of the World of Heritage. I'm Niloufar, and here with Stephanie, we are students of the World Heritage Studies program at the Brandenburg Technical University. We started this podcast as our study project for this semester, querying the narrative scores organized by our lecturer, Ms. Caitlin Williams. In each episode, we have a new guest from the BTU Heritage community, and today we are really excited to get to know Andrea Martinez Fernandez.
Now we're going to introduce Andrea a little bit more. Andrea is a 25-year-old archaeologist from Spain. She did her archaeology degree from 2013 to 2017. In 2014, she also started a Bachelor of Arts in Anthropology, which she's in her final stage of finishing, but currently on a leave from. She started her Master of Arts degree at the BTU in World Heritage Studies in 2017, and during that time, she went to the Helwan University in Cairo, Egypt, and the University of Carthage in Tunisia, both with scholarships. Currently, she is doing another master in territorial and historical heritage in Spain. Furthermore, she did an internship at the World Heritage Office in San Antonio, Texas in 2019 and was interning at the World Heritage Watch Office, editing journals, organizing the annual forum, developing projects and creating maps. She's a CNE ICOMOS member and a part of the ICOMOS Emerging Professionals Working Group. Very impressive, dear Andrea. Thanks so much for agreeing to meet with us. We are eager to learn more about you.
Thank you for inviting me. Thank you for having me. I'm really looking forward to have a conversation now.
Okay, great. Let's start with the first round of our questions. Andrea, why did you decide to study archaeology and anthropology in Spain for your undergrad degree?
So I first started with my degree in archaeology. It was just something that I liked. I started when I was 18. I guess I didn't really know what to study, and my parents always encouraged me to study something that I liked, and I was like, I like history, like archaeology, because here in Spain, unlike in America, like the American School of Archaeology comes from anthropology, here in Spain, well, in Europe in general, it's just part of the historical discipline, I guess, and archaeology is more focused on studying historical projects. 1 year later, I decided that, I don't know, I was a little bit more into the American School of Archaeology, so I started an undergrad in anthropology on a different university. Here in Spain, we have a pretty decent long-distance uni. So I joined a few courses and I really, really enjoyed it. But I eventually had to leave it on the side and, I don't know, finish that bachelor's degree sometime. I just did it for the sake of learning, I guess.
Great. You also spent some time in Freiburg during that time. Was that one reason why you decided to study World Heritage Studies in Germany, or did that not influence your decision at all?
Yes and no. I had already taken a look into the World Heritage Studies program before going to Freiburg. That was my Erasmus year. I finished my bachelor's degree there. And I had a really good time, academically speaking. I took that opportunity to undertake some master's level courses, even though I was still in my bachelor's. But because in Spain we have 4-year bachelor's, I was in my fourth year. So they let me take some master's degree courses. And I really liked the format of a master's degree in Germany. I thought it would be the same in Cottbus, and academically, yes, but Cottbus was really, really different from Freiburg. Like, we're going from one side of the country to the complete different other. But yes, I was like, yeah, I'm going to stay in this country. I'm having a good time. I'm kind of adapting well to the culture. I'm learning the language. Let's go to Eastern Germany.
So you also spent an internship at the World Heritage Office in San Antonio in Texas. How did you find this position and how did you like it and what were your tasks there?
Okay, so this internship, I took it as a part of the US ICOMOS International Exchange Program in 2019. So I had to apply for the IEP website and I go through the IEP process. The trick is that I already knew that some of the internships offer was in the World Heritage Office of San Antonio. So I really focus my application on going into that direction. I knew that because I went to a conference and I met the director of the World Heritage Office, Colleen Swain. And she saw my presentation and she said, okay, you have a really nice background for the IEP. She encouraged me to apply and she told me that she would be really happy to have me in her office. Still had to go through that process of applications, but I had these just interested on going to the World Heritage Office. And I had a background in both in World Heritage through my studies and the few internships that I had taken before. I really focus on Spanish colonial heritage. So, and that's what the World Heritage Office does. So I had a good CV, a good application because I knew I had it very clear. I wanted to go to San Antonio. So it worked and it was a really, really, really nice experience. And I really encouraged everyone listening to apply. Last year, actually, another World Heritage Studies student got the same internship spot that I got in 2018. She just couldn't go because of COVID, which is a shame. Hopefully she will be able to go eventually. They really, really enjoyed the approach we have in our studies. And what I did there was developing a survey on perception of the World Heritage brand and the World Heritage sites of the San Antonio missions from the local community, because they already had a tourist perception survey. And that was my task. And I also helped with other small things. They mainly work in that office, they mainly work with civil society. So it was really, really interesting and an amazing experience, both in San Antonio and in Washington. It was amazing. Yeah, I have to say, a really good experience.
So you would recommend this program? Would you recommend people to apply to it? Yes, probably, right?
Yeah, definitely. I don't recommend it. I encourage you to apply, yes.
All right. So currently you're doing another master in territorial and historical heritage. Which university is it? And is the master similar to World Heritage Studies? What are the differences and why did you apply for the second master at all?
So my master's is in the University of Cantabria, in the city where I'm from and where I'm currently living, Santander. We all know what happened in 2020. I found myself back in Spain and the only thing I have to do is finishing my master's thesis from BTU and look for a job. I have plenty of time to do something else, okay? I was wrong. I don't have time for anything else anymore. So I applied for this master's and I got in. It's a very, kind of old-fashioned program, not as ambitious as the BTU program. I did it, okay, on one side because of, I'm here, let's get back on track. But on the other side, I studied World Heritage, but I felt like I was forgetting local heritage. And this master's is really, really has a strong focus on local heritage and from a completely different perspective, which is geography and territory and, history. But mainly, most of my professors come from the geography field. It's really interesting. I've been learning a lot. It's just a heavy, really, really heavy workload. It's only 1 year and it's organized not in semesters, but in bimesters. So I have 3 ECTS courses that last 6 weeks. It's really, really intense. And then I have to write a very, very long paper for each of these courses that varies from 15 to 15 pages up. So it's a really heavy workload. In BTU, I found that most of the classes are, you know, on a like seminar type of classes that you read a paper and you prepare it and you discuss it in class. It is probably my favorite way of learning. But here, as I said, it's a little bit more traditional. Professors usually come to class, speak for an hour and a half and leave. And then you have to write a paper. This week I just started my last bimester and it's a little bit different. I have to say I have 5 courses and only 2 of them are like that. The other courses were like very, very few people. And we're just discussing. And actually, one of the professors told us, like, okay, we're only 4. Do your work at home. Don't come here. The class is from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Let's go home. Let's all go home. So I like it that it's more personal. I don't know how many of you are right now in World Heritage Studies, but when I started, we were between 40 and 50, I think. I think that number went up. But in my class, we're only 15 or so. So it's really, it's a more personal way of learning, yeah.
Great, we are happy to see that you are so engaged with your new master. Thanks for your answers. We will take a short break and come back in a few seconds.
Welcome back. Andrea, your CV shows an impressive amount of countries you lived in: Germany, Spain, USA, Egypt, and Tunisia, if I didn't forget one. Could you explain to us the different experiences you had living in these countries and which country was your favorite?
When I moved to Germany, I mean, at that time, it was a big culture shock. Then I when you see things in perspective, when you move somewhere else, you were like, okay, I mean, still Europe. Of course, German people are different and German culture is very different from Spanish culture. In Germany, I had a pretty good experience. I always felt pretty welcome despite what they say about Spanish people. Like, you know, they're invading us. We are a lot of Spanish people in Germany. Then I had spent a couple of months in Cuba for an internship. That was the big culture shock, for example. And like the first time, it was my first time going away, like going somewhere else that wasn't in Europe. Like seeing that even the culture was not that different. It's the same language, it's like a common historical background. But seeing that even though you speak the same language, people can be so different and understand the world in such a different way, because most of the people I had to work with, they had never left Cuba, for example, and they understand things in a different way. So I think that helped me understand a lot of things and grow up a lot, because I think I went there when I was 19, actually, and spent 1 month when I was 19, 1 month when I was 20. Second time I went there, just after that, I went to Mexico, and that was the first time I saw kids working, for example. And that's something that really, really, I don't know, stuck with me. And that's, I think, when I realized about my privilege and I started using that word. Yes, I'm privileged. And when I moved to Egypt, I moved there knowing that I was going to be, despite being a woman in a country that is not so good for women, I was still really, really privileged. And I lived in a complete bubble. Most of the people I met were expats. I knew the difference between expat and immigrant. I was in an immigrant, I was an expat, and I realized the difference there was between my expat friends and my refugee friends. And I think those are experiences that I'm now carrying with me all the time and that make me be aware of how privileged I am every time. And it's and things that really, really help me to deconstruct that and live in a more ethical and self-aware way. And I remember that when I, so I come from a, you know, like a humble family, like I didn't have a lot of things growing up, like my family is not rich at all. And that was something when I, like before going to these places, I used to say like, you know, I'm like the first, one of the first ones in my family to go to university or something like that. I come from a really humble family and blah, 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 blah. And then I realized, no, I come from a rich country. I never missed it. I'm white, even though I'm from Spain and people can be xenophobic against Spanish people. I can pass as a German person. So I'm really, really privileged. And that's, I think, the best, like the best thing I got from all these experiences abroad. And again, when I went to the US and I wondered, and I went to Texas, and well, San Antonio is a pretty big Democrat town, but I never suffered any kind of xenophobia. And people were like, I love saying, I love your accent. Like saying, hey, I know you're a foreigner, but I'm fine with that. I don't know.
So the time that you decided you want to study master in Cottbus, what was your expectations from this master, and what was your experience, and how many months at the end did you live in Cottbus?
So regarding my academic expectations, I think I'm pretty satisfied. I definitely didn't expect to be able to spend a semester in Egypt or another semester in Tunisia. Like, I didn't expect that, and that was great. But as I said, I moved to Cottbus from Western Southern Germany. It was completely different. I was expecting to find the same kind of university town I was doing my Erasmus in. And I had a really good experience there. And then I remember I flew to Berlin. I spent one night in Berlin because my best friend lives there. So, and he took me to the train station and he said, bye. And then the train left. And I remember, yeah, I had no internet connection for a bit. And then I landed in Cottbus. And as I said, it was a terrible, like it was days before a big storm that was in the papers and everywhere. Anyway, so I was like, what the hell is this? Where's the people? Where do I have to go? This place is so different and so hostile. And so I went to the dorms. I was there with my tiny suitcase because I was sending over the rest of my stuff. So I was walking around the city. The streets were completely empty, looking around like, and days were boring. And yeah, like I never really found myself very happy in Cottbus. The thing that I definitely liked the most was the student community. It was extremely supportive. People were amazing. I met super amazing people, made like friends that, I don't know, like good friends. And I will say Cottbus is a really good place if you want to focus on your studies. I think already in February, I left to Berlin and then I went to Egypt. And when I came back, I moved to Berlin. Also because I needed a job and I couldn't find a job in Cottbus. So yeah, I mean, the university is great. The university is amazing, but the city, I don't know, I could tell you a lot of not so pleasant stories, but they haven't, most of them have not happened to me. So I will leave that for, yeah, somebody else.
Thanks so much. So now that you're back in Spain, do you miss something about living abroad?
Yes, definitely. It's been great to be abroad, and it's been great. It's been great to be here. The first weeks, I remember that I would be walking on the street and hear somebody speaking Spanish and turn around, because that's what I used to do when I was in Germany, in Berlin. I will hear a lot of people speaking Spanish, but for example, when I was in Egypt or in Tunisia, and I hear somebody speaking Spanish, and I did that here, and I was like, yes, of course, I'm in Spain. So I had to readapt to be at home and not to be an alien anymore. So that was great. And so far, I'm pretty happy here. I'm content that I'm kind of finding myself back here, because the reason why I wanted to leave is because I felt that I couldn't fit here, but I wouldn't be able to develop as a professional. Now I'm seeing that I might have opportunities here, but I think in a few years, yeah, in a couple of years, I will probably want to go somewhere else. I don't see myself, like, not because I cannot develop, it's just because I just enjoy living in a different culture, yeah.
All right, that was very interesting. Thanks. We will take a few seconds and come back soon. Stay tuned.
Hello again. Now we are coming to the most exciting part of our conversation, talking about the program itself. Andrea, how did you find the Master of World Heritage Studies, and while studying, which courses were your favorite ones?
So I found this course through the person who was my advisor. I was doing my bachelor's. She was my bachelor thesis supervisor. She coordinated my internships, and she's basically up to this day my mentor, and hopefully I will be doing a PhD with her. She's Alicia Castillo, and she told me, if you want to work in the World Heritage field, or you want to study this discipline, you have to do this master's. Like, this is the best one. I heard that there was one also, like a similar course in Ireland, and another one in the UK. So I know the price tag of a master's in the UK. So I chose the B2 master's because of the price, and also because of the recommendations that I got from everyone who was studying that. When I applied, like, now the program has changed a little bit. I started almost 4 years ago, changed a little bit into the direction of being more research oriented. Actually, when I applied, I expected it to be more professionally oriented. I still enjoyed it a lot. My favorite course, really enjoyed cultural landscapes. I really enjoyed every course taught by Anka. Sadly, she left, Anka Proban. I really liked these courses on heritage. I had that course with Medium. But yeah, because I took 2.5 semesters abroad, I actually didn't take that many courses in BTU. I really liked Leo Schmidt's course, Conservation. The names were so long, I can't remember the whole name. I really liked discussions of, like, I really enjoyed the dynamic of that course. That was really great, like, good mix, like it was really dynamic, different professors, a lot of discussions. The paper was interesting to write. Yeah, I think overall probably my favorite was cultural landscape and tourism. Yeah, maybe. Oh no, discourses. Yeah, no, my favorite one. My favorite one was discourses. Yeah.
Okay. So coming to your semesters abroad, which you already mentioned, how was the process of applying for these semesters at the BTU? And I think you got scholarships. And how did you get these scholarships? And what did you like or didn't you like about your exchanges?
So it was actually pretty easy to apply. Both semesters abroad that I that I took were part of the scholarship. So my semester in Egypt, I mean, there was like already a lot of agreements signed. So it wasn't like an extra exchange that you have to do so many paper and deal with two universities. No, I had to do a learning agreement. That was really easy because we just had to fill in, like they told us, hey, those are the courses offered for you, and you can, you know, validate that with those courses. So it was easy to apply. I mean, we just had to send our CVs, fill some paperwork. For Tunisia, we had an interview because a lot of us applied, and for Egypt, yeah, we didn't have any interview. And then once we were accepted, just sign some more paperwork, book the flights, and get ready to go. So it was really, really easy because I also tried to fill the paperwork for an Extudexa exchange, and if it was a little bit overwhelming, like, because you could see the deadline approach, and I was like, I really don't understand anything. I don't know which courses I can do. So yeah, it was easy. The funding was great, and they made things very, very easy for us. I mean, for me and for the group in general. Maybe there was some lack of communication sometimes with the universities, but yeah, like applying was easy. Then arriving there and finding yourself with, okay, where do I go now? What do I do? Where is the university? Yeah, no, but the experiences were good.
As an experienced student doing many exchanges and internships, what are your main hobbies while living in different countries, and how do you explore the culture country? Yeah, can you explain us more about your experience?
So I think every time I've been somewhere else, like for example, when I went to Cuba and Mexico, I didn't took any time off, something that I really regretted, because I was in Havana for a couple of months, and the only place I know about Cuba, apart from a couple of one-day excursions that I did, is the city, same as in Puebla, Mexico. So from then, I always took like a week or two off from my studies to travel around the country. Like when I went to Egypt, I had a friend visiting me, so it was a really good opportunity to take a week off and travel around the country. It was during Ramadan, so we didn't have class anyway. In Tunisia, was the same. When we finished our classes, we took a week to travel around the country. In the US, yeah, as well, I was allowed to take 1 week off, and I did a small road trip. But while I'm in the side, in my destination, what I enjoy the most is going to museums. I'm a big museum nerd, and I try to go to as many big and small museums. It's the small museums that I really, really like. So yeah, that's probably it. Or just going out and going around and meeting people, and go, never say no to any plan, and let the locals take me wherever they want to.
Wow, time flew by already. Thanks so much, Andrea, for answering our questions so far. We have one last quite mean question for you, and that one is, what is your favorite World Heritage site and why?
Okay, since I knew you to ask me that, I was thinking about it, and I really don't know. I don't think I can give you one, because I have some favorites, of course. I will probably say, because I'm writing my master thesis at this moment with about this site, probably the San Antonio missions. Because I feel like, I don't know, I have somehow connected with this site. I don't know, but probably the site I enjoy the most will be any historical city that I've been. I don't know, probably the historical center of Havana that I've spent there a couple of months, and I had probably some of the best times of my life there. So yeah, maybe that could be the one.
Thanks a lot, Andrea, for answering all of our questions. We were really encouraged and impressed by your experiences, and thanks for sharing your stories with us.
Next time we will talk to Maria. She's from Montenegro and did her undergrad degree in tourism at the University of Montenegro. She started her master degree in 2018 and did some impressive work with the European Heritage Volunteers, as well as participating in a student exchange with the University of Cartago in Tunisia as well. Furthermore, if you want to see more about the podcast, you can also follow us on Instagram. Our name on Instagram is The World of Heritage. We would also appreciate your feedback. Thanks again for listening, and stay well. Bye.